Born to broadcast, television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
And welcome to Fritz and Friends on this Tuesday evening. Cheryl Fritz here along with Scott Eckersley producing. Sunshine out today, got an awfully cold, though I kept hearing today about glacial temperatures. I think we're heading there. Going out on the phone right now, Nathan Triplett, East Lansing City Council. Good evening, Nathan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I saw something you wrote today that prompted me to give you a call in talking about revenue sharing and it being tied to consolidation and sharing of services and so forth. So I wanted to go out and talk to you about that because you certainly keep on top of these kinds of issues. We first heard about consolidation and sharing services from Governor Snyder in the State of the State address. But a proposal to link revenue sharing to the consolidation of services may be a little bit too much for some. What is your feeling about this right off the top?
Well, Cheryl, I think in principle there aren't any communities that oppose the idea of incentivizing innovation. The challenge comes in that the legislature and the governor have to recognize the significant steps that have already been taken by communities like East Lansing. Just to give you one example, we've already entered into a cooperative services agreement with Meridian Township so that we're now providing assessing services for them and housing inspections. We are involved in another number of other regional collaborations between police departments and fire departments, and we're looking for these opportunities every day. So the suggestion that communities aren't already looking for these opportunities to work on their own budget situations is just not comporting with reality.
So cities like East Lansing, as you said, have been doing this for a while. Has this been kind of a long-term, just kind of a common sense thing that with budget shrinking and revenue sharing shrinking anyway, even before right now, this has been kind of how you've looked at running things anyway?
Right. I mean, for the last decade, since 2001, the state government has been siphoning off money from revenue sharing dollars that should have been going to local communities to solve their own budget problems. And the practical result of that is communities like East Lansing have been forced to get creative and innovate to try and provide the services that our residents demand, except at a lower cost. So we've been doing this for 10 years now, and as a result have already engaged in a significant amount of reform, and we'll continue to do that. But the idea that the legislature has to reformulate revenue sharing to prod us into doing it, again, is just not factual.
In an article that I read in the Detroit News also alluded to that as well, that yes, we will try to, you know, communities will try to do the sharing of services and consolidate when appropriate, but the idea, it almost feels like a penalty to some of the folks who are quoted in the article that, you know, if we're not doing this, we're not going to get revenue sharing dollars.
Right, and I think that's really the key, is what we need to be looking at is, does consolidation actually create better value for residents? Does it really save money? You know, one example, Cheryl, is there's been this ongoing conversation about health care costs that local governments face, and during the last legislative session, there was discussion about pooling all local government employees into a single pool and achieving savings that way. Well, the numbers that the state quoted in terms of what the annual increase and healthcare costs would be under their plan were still higher than what our current cost increase year by year is in the city of East Lansing, which is about 3.5% thanks to our healthcare task force. So in a situation like that, it makes no sense to force consolidation between local units of government on a service-by-service basis if we can already achieve greater savings for our residents with what we're doing today.
So in a practical way, these different sharing of services or combining services need to be looked at on an individual basis. You can't just lump it all and say, "Hey, we're going to consolidate." The healthcare insurance costs are just a perfect example of that.
Right, absolutely. You know, consolidation of certain services is certainly an option that should be considered, but it's not a panacea or a silver bullet, and it really needs to be looked at on a case-by-case basis to find out, can we achieve economies of scale, can we still provide the level of service and a quality of service that our residents will be expecting? Those questions have to be answered. Simply saying consolidate to save money isn't the way to go.
And when when is it a good thing to combine services? Is it strictly money savings? I mean, you know, we talk about police or fire or something. Are there some good examples of combining services like that that work?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to give you an example, you've mentioned public safety. The city, along with neighboring jurisdictions, recently entered into an agreement to ensure that we would purchase our 911 calling systems together so that they're all equivalent technology, so that in the event that there's a failure in one area, it can be replaced by a backup system that's using the exact same technology in another area. And as you're probably aware, the county is currently going through a consolidation of 911 dispatch right now so that there will be a single dispatch center for all of Ingham County. So, you know, there are certain situations where you can achieve technological advantages like that where it makes sense to consider it. But again, that needs to be judged on a case-by-case basis, and insisting that consolidation is the one and only way to save money for local units of government, it's just not the best way to go for our residents.
In the history of, and you wrote something today that I found interesting, the history of revenue sharing goes back to the 30s, to the 1930s, and you likened it to a compact, of course, with between state and local governments, and that, of course, has been decreasing. The amounts have been decreasing steadily over the years.
Right. I mean, this was an agreement that was reached between state government and local units of government whereby the state would collect tax revenue centrally and in return would remit a portion of that to local units of government to fund essential services, the idea being that the state would benefit from a more streamlined tax code, but not to the detriment of local services. Unfortunately, in the last 10 years, the state has siphoned off over $4 billion since 2001 of money that should have gone to revenue sharing to deal with state-level budget problems. And to give you a sense closer to home, for East Lansing, that's almost $11 million just in our community over the last 10 years of revenue sharing that has been diverted to other purposes. For a city with an annual budget of $33 million, $11 million over that period of time is a big chunk of change that we could have used to provide higher quality services for our residents that was not available because of the state's decision.
And communities, of course, as you just indicated, rely heavily on this. And, I mean, a city like East Lansing this year, do you know what amounts you're going to receive in revenue sharing to date?
You know, we've just started our budget process for the 2012 fiscal year, and of course we're waiting with bated breath like everyone else to hear from Governor Snyder on the 17th about what his state budget will look like to give us some idea. You know, at this point, revenue sharing accounts for just less than 15% of the revenue that we get on an annual basis. And if the state were, for example, to eliminate statutory revenue sharing, that amount that is under their control, that's a $1.8 million hit to our city's budget, which, again, is a tremendous amount of money for a community the size of East Lansing to absorb, which would have real impacts on our ability to provide services. So it's certainly not our only source of revenue, but it is an important source, and those eliminations have real impacts on our communities.
Yeah, and when you're looking at the budget for the city of East Lansing, you and your fellow council members, and there's another hit like that coming, it has to come somewhere. Some program, some staff, something is going to have to be cut to make up for that.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that I remind people is that these revenue sharing cuts, where they've been felt in many places across the state, though not particularly in East Lansing as of yet, is in the area of public safety, because public safety, by and large, is what local governments do. Again, using East Lansing as an example, 54% of our general fund budget is spent on public safety. So when the state hands down a significant cut and we have to look for places to make up for that, as we're obligated to do, it's very difficult to spread a cut of that magnitude without it impacting public safety. And we've been able to avoid that since 2001, but this effect combines year after year after year, and at some point where the rubber meets the road, you can't hold those things sacrosanct anymore. So it really has impacts on people's day-to-day life.
So the cuts are going to be getting more painful to the public in a city like East Lansing or any city. They're going to be more noticeable and more painful if this continues.
Right. If the state doesn't get to a point where they're willing to consider a long-term solution that provides adequate revenue for local units of government, with each passing year, it won't be fat that we're cutting. It won't be muscle that we'll be cutting. We're getting straight down to the bone, and only a long-term solution is going to fix that. And that's what the legislature has to come to grips with, that they can't keep robbing Peter to pay Paul and expect the level of service to be maintained.
Well, like you said, we'll all be looking forward to hearing from Governor Snyder with the 2012 budget on the 17th and kind of see where we end up at that point, I guess.
Absolutely.
And Nathan, I'm going to be giving you a call again soon. I need to talk to you about earned income tax credit. We didn't have time today, but I know this is a subject you're passionate about as well, so I'll be giving you a call about that.
I look forward to being back on, Cheryl. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Nathan. I've been speaking with Nathan Triplett, East Lansing City Council, about revenue sharing and where we are in the state with that. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.